Mike, we're going to talk the birthdays today.
20 years, Norman.
20 years today at 6 a.m., the ticket signed on the air.
I just have a few standard questions for you, kind of digging into your memories of this whole thing and how this worked out. I guess the first time you heard that anyone was considering doing a 24-hour sports station in Dallas, your very first memory.
Mike, it probably leaked maybe 6 months that there was a buzz, that people were talking about that, that somebody might be willing to do it, might be ready to do it. At that time, there was very little sports talk in this city. In fact, about 10 years earlier, I'd gone on the air doing mornings at KLIF, and in America, that was the first pure sports, all-drive morning sports talk show in the country when we started. It predated all the all-sports stations mm-hmm. everywhere, and people looked at it, and it had very nice success, and loads of cities came in or wanted tapes and wanted assessments of how we were doing it, and it was working. Mike, it made sense to me to have a 24-hour sports talk station. Sports is a huge talking point in this country.
Was there doubt that when you heard it, did you think, well, how can they possibly fill 24 hours?
No, not at all.
No?
Not at all. Not at all. Because you're just talking. And if you use different people, now if you were using only two or three people,
yeah,
yes, right. It would get tired fast. But if you've got, what do we have? 9 voices on the air who are primo voices, and then that doesn't count Mike or Sean, who are regular voices who add to this show, mm-hmm. or Rich or Fernando or Danny Bayless or Tom Gribble. It doesn't count any of this. So
Fernando
the listening. Yes. So people here in just a 5:30 to 7 will hear 15 voices, maybe, on sports. Then you blend in, can you get some regular shows dotted into that?
Mm-hmm.
Which everybody has.
Did you think, even at that time in those 6 months, why aren't they coming to me on this? Like, did you feel like you were an obvious fit and choice for someone who should be a part of a local Dallas 24-hour station?
You know, my first thought was I probably wouldn't be called. Because when you're putting this together, you're probably putting it together on what is really an extremely low-budget basis.
Yeah.
And you probably don't want to start out an idea you're not certain is going to work by committing some kind of major amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
And look what they did there. They committed the most money to Skip Bayless. But Skip was also getting a very good income as a columnist here. So for Skip, this was odd job money. This was second job money. And then what they did was they went and rounded up, well, for Kurt Menefee, but it was odd job money for him, too.
Mm-hmm.
He was a TV anchor. And then they hired some young guys from the market, and I'm going to assume then at pretty low wages to fill in other slots. George and Craig and Grego and Rhines and Gordon, what did you make your first year here?
My first year here, I think I made something like $4,000 or something like that.
Were you part-time?
Well, that much?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You were part-time?
Yeah, I started off as an intern. And
when did you go full-time here?
When did I go full-time? That's a really good question. I think like a year later.
All right.
Sort of glad you asked me that.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm. Do you mind sharing the approximate level of salary you got when you started here?
When I first started here?
Yeah.
I just told
when you. First,
no,
when you first went full-time. What did they pay you? Did you get 20, for instance?
When I first went full-time, I want to say, God, why are you making me talk about money? It's so uncomfortable.
Yes. Oh, well, sorry, Gordon. No, cut his mic off.
I just
off.
Don't like making people uncomfortable.
I know
you don't,
Gordon. It's not. It's been a career-long trend of yours not make people uncomfortable.
My first contract with the ticket, my first year of my first contract year was in the 20s.
It was in the 20s,
yeah.
That honestly surprises me a little.
Really?
Why? I mean, not for your talent level, just that the startup that they were trying to keep as things as expenditure-wise low to try mm-hmm. to survive at that
yeah.
point. Well, they hired a talent, I'll tell you that.
And now that you got me talking about money, I'm in the 30s now.
You're up to the 30s.
Yeah. Likewise. Nice.
Wow. That's yes. Into the 30s.
Monthly?
What's that?
Monthly?
No.
No, okay.
They say you always want to make your age, right?
Yes.
That's not true anymore, right?
Mm-hmm. Jeez, just think what I'll be making in 20 years.
What should you make? Like, what is the rule of thumb now? The old thing was you want to make your age. So if you were 32, you want to make 32.
Mm-hmm. The rule of thumb for me is make it to the 25th of January.
Anniversary?
No, of January.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Back to
well, God bless you, Norman. Hey, heard about the erectile dysfunction? Prayers, thoughts,
thanks.
Well wishes.
Thanks.
All that sort of thing.
All right.
I'll skip down my list to you. The evolution of your relationship with Gordon, Norm.
Uh-oh.
What's the first time you ever remember anything from that man right
well,
there?
Well, I thought Gordon was reckless on the air. I really did think that. I thought
now, you're using that past tense, which is interesting to me.
I thought Gordon was reckless on the air.
Go
and
ahead.
And that he went too far at times. And see, I'm old school. I was brought up in the day and age where you didn't do any of that stuff, okay? And quite honestly, I was very slow to acclimate to it. And the success of the all-sports stations was not just sports. It was the fact that they talked guy talk a lot,
mm-hmm.
that they off-roaded into entertainment. I never did that. I tried to off-road with weirdo guests at times, unusual people, the Ashrita Furmans, or the guy who just won the Grease Zucchini Toss Contest, or the Cherry Pit Spitting Champion, whose nickname was Machine Gun.
His real name was George W. Bush.
Yes, the turkey bowler with George Bush. That if I had a shtick for off-roading, that was mine. But I didn't do things like, you know, when I heard, gee, they're doing voices and fake characters and oddball stuff. And, you know, I hate to say this, you grudgingly admit, because you're in competition, you grudgingly admit, those guys are funny. You know? I mean, you do. I mean, everybody grudgingly admits it. If you're the Rangers, you grudgingly admit, darn, Oakland's good. You don't want that to be, but you admit it.
Well, I concede. I mean, I agree with you. I did think I went too far. In hindsight, of course, at the time, you're young and full of justification. But, you know, looking back, God dang, I mean, like, I am really embarrassed by some of the things I've done and said on the air.
Like what?
It was irresponsible, bro. There was,
do you have an example
of
like the worst thing that you're like, I can't, that was dumb, or I shouldn't have?
Let's see. What would be a good example of it?
1997?
Yeah, I would say the 90s. You know, there are a lot of them, and I should think of some specific ones, and I've thought about actually writing about this at some point, you know, about how, I mean, because I'm really like, and it's hard to talk about because there's going to be a whole host of people that are just going to say, well, this is BS hypocrisy and everything. You know, they don't allow someone like me regret or wish that I'd done things differently or, you know, and they still think of me as the exact same way that they've always thought of me. I don't think of myself that way. I think that I have changed over the years. I think that I've changed the same way that regular human beings do. But I know that I also play a certain position up here at the ticket. We all have positions, and I'm mm-hmm. a position player, and I play, you know, a certain kind of character, and I'm the sniper. You know, I'm supposed to take the pot shots and be the smart ass.
Mm-hmm.
And smartasses don't get a lot of compassion or forgiveness, Norm. I don't know if you've noticed that.
No, I agree. I agree. You're going to be a lightning rod for as long as you're here.
Right.
Yeah.
And you and I have argued, and I think I go back and think about how just aggressive and bulldoggy I was in those early days. And how, you know, like now I'll say something on the air or make a slighting comment that hurts somebody's feelings, and I'm like consumed by guilt the rest of the day. Or, you know, back then I wasn't. Mm-hmm. Back then, you know, it's, like I said, it was all justification.
Well, see,
and everything felt like you...
For me, I never in my sports career lived on the edge. I mean, I've been part of controversial stories, but I never lived on the edge. Like, mm-hmm. and you guys were, for me, whoa, You were way out toward the edge, and I didn't go there. I tried. You hate to throw around those big terms, journalist and things like that, but the marketplace in America went another place with the advent of a station and stations like The Ticket. And I say The Ticket because there must be 100 copycat tickets in America right now. Mm-hmm. And I mean that honestly. There are stations who call themselves The Ticket around America. They try to replicate what's done here. But you know what they can't replicate? They can't replicate the people. They can't replicate the brains.
And isn't that silly how we'll go to other markets and you'll see someone that call on The Ticket. There's even some that have a show called The Hard Line.
Oh, yeah.
They call their listeners P1s.
Yeah.
And they just, what'd you just say?
Yeah.
I should.
Yeah.
Boy.
Okay.
That's your 20 norm there.
Okay.
But yeah, it's silly to see them do that and they think that all the window dressing is what makes the station. But, you know, it's George and Craig and Mike and Greg when he was here and Corby, it's all those personalities that have the connection with the listener. It's not, just nomenclature and artwork.
Now, one other thing I'd like to point out. I don't know how, but nobody has stolen the heart of this station. Nobody has come in and taken away the heart. Grego's personal story is out there. Everybody knows it. One of the things that stations do to compete in America is they steal from the leader. Nobody's stolen from us. Have there been brushes? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We came awfully close to losing Bob and Dan last year. Awfully close. But what's amazing is nobody's come and stolen George and Craig and Gordon. Nobody simply said, I know how to wound the ticket. I'll stab him in the heart. I'll offer a lot of money, they'll bring their audience with them, and that's what'll bring them now. And nobody's been able to do that here. Nobody.
Well, we did have somebody try to steal our foundation a few years ago, and now he's back working for us, so.
That was Frito. It's a reference to someone mislabeling Frito as the foundation of the station.
Have you two ever been what close to leaving, guy? Or been really pursued to leave?
Go ahead, Norm.
Me, never. You?
I've been pursued several times, but I don't think that I've ever been all that close to leaving. Maybe some of the earlier pursuits, I would have thought about it more seriously. The later pursuits, not so much.
Well, I've had discussions with people of other stations, but you then get into all the particulars, and that's where it all breaks down. When, how much, where, what are the conditions? That's where it all breaks down.
Right.
I remember years and years ago, when I had started in the mornings, I got a call from a friend of mine working in Chicago. And he said, man, he said, I think you can have a job up here. And it was doing sports talk on air for a major station. And he said, there's a role in the Bears pregame and postgame for you. That's not bad in Chicago. And talk, and he said, you could work into a lot of things here. And I said, yeah, put my name in for that. And then I went home and I thought, I don't want to live in Chicago. What did I just tell him? And I called him back and said, don't put my name in for that.
And then I called him and said, put my name
in for that. Yes, exactly right.
Do you think this would work in any city? I know you guys get this question a lot, and I get this. I mean, if it started organically in a different city, would it have worked the same? And if, I don't know, all you guys were transplanted somewhere else, would it work from that day on? Or is it just the perfect storm that happened here?
Well, it's certainly a perfect storm. I mean, the timing was right for the station to go on the air. The people that came together at the time that it did was kind of had a little bit of magic to their, you know, had synergy, as they say in the business world.
We had all the major sports.
We had something more together than we had individually.
Yep.
And then also the listeners were there and found us early on, and we reached that critical mass that we could escape the gravity of our financial situation.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been of the opinion, that I don't see why every city this couldn't happen in with their own homegrown talent. People who grew up in that community, have a connection to that community. I've always been amazed that, you know, you'll have these cities of 10 million people, and you go and listen to their sports radio, and they can't find some people who are compelling on the air. What's with that? I mean, isn't this still a glamour, sought-after job that people want to do? And why don't talented people, I don't understand why there's not more talented people filling these very limited slots.
I'd like to point out something about the people here, too, to finish, I guess we're up against the break, to finish the discussion. And that is the varied interests of them. You consider the varied interests of Gordon, George, Craig, Bob, Dan, Donovan.
TC.
TC. Rhines, Corby. Danny, we've got musicians, we've got writers, we've got people who like to compete in athletics, we've got guys who do play-by-play, we've got guys who do analysis, we've got guys who work for the teams in this area. There's such a varied group of people here, and I'd like to call it pure dumb luck, and maybe it is, honestly, pure dumb luck, but the breadth of the ability here and the difference in interests here really is, I think, another key to us.
Well, I think the ticket was very smart early on. Not a lot of stations do this, by the way, allow their employees to pursue their outside interests the way the ticket has done. They won't let you write for another publication. They say, if you're going to write, you're going to write for our website.
Mm-hmm.
And they create bad will that way when you don't let people pursue what they want to do. And letting George do play-by-play, which is a passion of his, letting Craig, you know, take off to do a marathon here and there, letting me write for the morning news.
Hey, look at
that! All that stuff keeps us happy, keeps us in place, keeps us appreciative and grateful.
Look at our general manager, Dan Bennett.
Is he out of rehab, by the way, Dan Bennett?
He's
still
out of rehab again.
Okay.
No. Look at him saying, "Oh well, yeah. If you want to travel around and do baseball for ESPN, go ahead. Just take the equipment with you and do it from everywhere." You got to know what a technical nightmare that was some days, and yet that has always been part and parcel of the stations Dan has run and the way the station's been run. Hey, that does us good. If people out in the community see you doing this or that or such and such, it adds to their respect level and the resume of the station.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We lucked out. It's the bottom line, Norm.
Yeah, we did.
We lucked out. And that's kind of scary to realize how much luck is involved in life. But it is. We're lucky to be born in this country. Mm-hmm. First of all, we're lucky to be born at a time when sports radio was coming up. And
be male.
What's that?
We're lucky to be males.
Yes. Thank God.
Number one.
I mean, I like pretending to be a girl just as much as the next guy, but thank goodness I'm an actual male.
Yes, and we leave you on that frightening thought. Gordon as a female.